Our text for this morning is the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. I share with you again these words. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." This is our text. Dear Christian friends, what would it take to grab your attention? What about a man walking across the street wearing a Santa Claus outfit? Maybe this time of year that wouldn't be too unusual. But what about somebody walking down the street today wearing swim fins and a snorkel and a big floaty ring with a horsey head on it? Now, that would probably make you stop and look and maybe even look again. It's because it seems totally out of place at this time. Now, it might occur to you that that was some kind of a publicity stunt, sort of like a person dressed like the Statue of Liberty and waving, to get you not just to stop and look, but to do something. This is what John the Baptist is doing. He is doing some things that seem strange for the time. He's wearing rough clothing like the Old Testament prophet Elijah. And he's eating food, the kind of food that somebody might eat during a famine when times are really hard. He's calling for people's attention, and he's getting their attention. He's trying to say to them, things are really bad. His goal is not just to get people to turn and look at him, but to turn and take a look at what else is out of place in their lives, and then to look to God in repentance. And so we too today are called to turn and look at what is happening among us, to turn and look at what God requires, and to turn and look to Christ who acts for us. Let's think first about how we need to turn and look at what is happening among us. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." Well, this time of year, there are a lot of things that are catching your attention. Beautiful lights, decorations, wonderful toys, exciting gifts. But if you take time to look, you can notice the contrast between these things and what is right close by that is dark and dirty and poor and miserable. The season of Advent is not just a time to think about what is beautiful and pretty and fun, but John calls us to look at other things that need attention, that are not what they should be, that are out of place in our world and in our lives. To do this, he draws people, we're told, out into the wilderness, full of thorns and thistles and wild animals, because God's creation has been ruined by sin. The wilderness reminds us of where God called and trained the people of Israel when he was bringing them out of Egypt into the promised land. It was a place of danger and difficulty which God used to prepare them to come into the promised land, to be trained to trust in him alone. It was a place where they had to depend on God every single day. Why would these people want to go out into the wilderness? Maybe because they saw that old Jerusalem and Judea, which is where they were coming from, was also a place full of corruption and injustice and misery because of the situation at the time. The same thing is true in our lives today. bright road signs, maybe with orange flags or flashing lights, call our attention to danger ahead. Maybe because the road is broken up. Maybe because construction has already started. There are signs of brokenness ahead in our world today. Wars, revolutions, terrorism, an unmanageable refugee crisis in several places in our own country. Divisiveness, protests, fear of others. The road to the future is broken up. A reminder, as John reminds us, that the end is near. John says the glorious kingdom of God is at hand. The world and all in it is still in darkness compared to that kingdom of God. Are we ready for that coming judgment day? Or are there changes that need to be made? People of John's day sensed the need for God, not just because of the things that were going on around them, but because John got them to see that the root of all these problems was growing right inside their hearts. So we also need to turn and look at what God requires. Verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." When you walk by a mirror or a reflective store window, do you stop and take a look at yourself? Well, you might. If you happen to catch out of the corner of your eye something that is not right. Okay? Like your collar's all turned around wrong, or you got some big mess on top of your hair. You would look and you say, something needs to be changed. John is saying in our text, turn and take a look at yourself in the mirror of God's Word. The thing for you to look for is not just whether you are nice, whether you look nice, you don't want to do anything that's obviously wrong or to offend or hurt other people. But, he says, look again and see, is there any good fruit? Are you good in a way that results in making a positive difference? The Pharisees and Sadducees in John's day, they worked hard at being morally right and religiously good. But like artificial trees that aren't good for anything, the way of life that they lived actually was at the expense of caring for others. John sees them as trees that are not producing good fruit. And he points out that the problem is not just with the branches or the leaves, but it goes all the way to the roots in the heart. They took pride in the roots of their family tree, all the way back to Abraham. But John says that their secretly hurtful behavior shows that their real father is that ancient serpent, the devil. That is why God requires is not just cleaning up our act, doing things that look good, or polishing our halo a little bit if we think we're already doing pretty good, but a true change of heart with pure desires and motivations. Matthew, who wrote this gospel, knows what this means. He was a tax collector whose behavior was changed because he was called by Jesus to follow him. John's calling people to a baptism of repentance calls us also to live in our baptisms. Living in baptism means turning to look again every single day at what's in our hearts, as well as what results from our actions. What are the true attitudes and desires of our hearts? Is there hidden there hatred, bitterness, anger, greed, or lust? Do we behave as we do out of genuine love for other people or out of a desire to look good and be liked by others? We need constantly to confess our sins, therefore, to God with honest sorrow so that God can take an axe to those things and cut them out and throw them into the fire. while at the same time we turn every day also to God's promises of grace and forgiveness with faith firmly rooted in His Word. We are called especially to turn and look to Christ who acts for us. John says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. If you have ever ridden a horse, you know that the way to get the horse to go the direction you want, the way to steer it, is to turn its head. Because it's going to go in the direction that its head is facing. This is why the Bible calls those who are stubbornly unrepentant stiff-necked. Because they're like horses refusing to turn their head. What changes our lives is not just focusing on ourselves, the things that we do or don't do, but especially turning to look at Jesus and what He does for us. That is what causes the true change in our direction. Although we have wandered crooked paths in the wilderness, the kingdom of God comes because Jesus has come to us. He has been baptized by immersing Himself in our wicked world and in the filth of our sins because of His great true love for us. He was baptized in fire when he was attacked by the devil and tempted in every way and yet remained as pure as gold. At the same time, the Holy Spirit and power were poured out on him, enabling him to do miraculous good works which helped others. Helping others is also why ultimately he was cut off from life itself when he was hung on the tree of the cross for us. But his death produced good fruit. The life-giving fruit of God's gracious forgiveness and love for us. So now, risen from the dead, he is that new shoot from the stump of Jesse, that shoot who lives again, so that we who have faith in him are grafted into this new tree and live new lives. Now he has poured out his Holy Spirit on us through our baptisms, which is what finally causes our stony hearts to be born again so that we become true children of Abraham, that is, of God. He continues his work in us like an ancient thresher. Back in those days when wheat was harvested, it was taken to a threshing floor, a flat spot, sort of up, often up on a high hill, where it was beaten and trampled in order to knock the grain loose from the straw. And then a winnowing fork was used to throw it up into the air when the wind was blowing. And the lighter straw would blow away, but the heavier grain would fall in a pile close by to be gathered up and put in the barn. The Holy Spirit works in our lives like that wind, threshing us to make us let loose of things that are worthless chaff and don't last, and pushing us away from them toward faith in Jesus. It's the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, who is God Himself, that continues to purify us, taking away our sins with His forgiveness and renewing our lives and gathering us close to Him through faith, causing us then to produce good fruits nourished by roots that go into God's Word and His sacraments. This is why God's Word grabs our attention again today. Turn and look at what is happening among us. The wilderness in our world and in our own heart shows that God needs to come and straighten things up. Turn and look at what God requires. God looks for good fruits that benefit others, rooted in a heart that has truly good desires. And turn and look at Christ and how He acts for us. It's what Jesus has done for us on the cross and what He does in us through His Holy Spirit that takes our sins away before the final judgment and makes us children who are now part of His kingdom that is coming now and is coming fully on that last day. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.